Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey guys, before we started this episode today, I just wanted to let you know that we ran into some technical difficulties while recording. So you'll notice that the quality of my microphone is much less, and I apologise for that. So hopefully you can still stick with it because we've got some great tunes coming up. Thank you.
Culture.
Hi guys, welcome to A New Winter, Cults and Culture, and we have another episode of Three Hits and a Shit, and as always, here's Dan.
It's me, it's Dreadful Dan G, rolling once again with the S to the L to the G.
Those are my initials, by the way. three random letters pulled from the ether. How are you today, Dan?
I'm all right. I've got a really bad cough. Scratchy throat, which is probably going to come into play over the course of this show. So I just want to apologise for that up front.
Well, Dan, so have I. And I think it's because of all that tonguing we've been doing with each other.
Does that this work? Time, can you transfer a cold through tonguing my anus?
I don't know. Well, we did try. Yeah. I told you, just no mouth on mouth. Mouth on anywhere else, but not mouth on mouth. That's just disgusting. Think of all the diseases you'll get from that. For fuck's sake. So, for people that don't know, Three Hits and a Shit is where you take four songs. We take four songs each, three of which we think are hits or that we like or whatever, and one of which we think is dire. And it's up to the other person to decide which, and we just give our general thoughts of whether we like it or not. Sounds about right, doesn't it?
That's the one.
That's it. So, Dan, tell me, what have you, before we go into it, what have you been listening to lately, if anything?
Oh, God, loads of stuff. I've actually been digging around in the jazz collection that I inherited from my great uncle. So I've been going back to that every now and then, and yeah, I've had a little dig around in that over the last few weeks.
It's a congratulations and a commiserations in order.
Yeah, it's tinged with sadness, but it's cool that I'm discovering, yeah, some like really kind of new to me music, just like traditional jazz, really, jazz guitar, but that I've never really been exposed to before. So that's been quite exciting.
Mm, you've How been exposed you? To a lot. a lot of my penis. What have I been listening to? I listened to an album someone sent me, I totally forgot the name of it, which is really helpful. But I was going to talk to you about it actually anyway, because I was thinking this might be up Dan Street because it's very, it's noisy, basically. Okay. It's quite fast. It's a bit weird. Just getting up now. Sonic Citadel by Lightning Bolt. Have you heard of that
album? Oh, yeah, Lightning Bolt. I've heard of, seen them play.
Oh, really? Well, there you go. So I listened to that for a bit. That's really the only new stuff. I saw that I've been a bit excited because I've still listened to Idols pretty much all the time, but they've got a live album coming out in early December, I think it is. And there's actually some nice vinyl they're releasing for that, by the way. Mm. Should tell you. They've got, I think it's three different colours, 30 quid each, or you get the lot for 80, but it's all the same album, so I don't know why you would, but people do, I suppose. And they've got like a hot pink, a yellow, and something else. But yeah, and it's live at the Bataclan or whatever it's called, the Parisian one that got shot up. So yeah, I've been quite looking forward to that. But really, I haven't listened to anything new apart from that album. I've just listened to some of my old classic stuff and a lot of songs by the Wiggles, which my kids like. That seems to eat up a lot of my, get thrown up a lot of recommendations based on my love for the Australian children's band known as the Wiggles, which is quite catchy. It's really annoyingly catchy. There's one song called Do the Propeller, which I don't know why. It sticks in my head for about, 5 weeks afterwards and never comes out. I've listened to that.
Are you allowed to do the propeller dance? I hope not.
What do you mean? Am I allowed to do it?
Does it involve taking your pants off?
I'm on the register. Oh, right, that one. Yeah, this one's a bit more harmless.
Good. I've actually been listening as well to, because I was feeling a bit ill and poorly, I think. I got into a really weird mood and I became obsessed with the song Coming Around Again by Carly Simon.
I don't know that one, do I?
Really saccharine piece of 80s pop with really terrible lyrics. I've been listening to that. The Bangles' Eternal Flame.
Nice. Why not?
Never Ever by The Assembly. And a few other songs in that kind of space. I was going to play the Carly Simon, but I thought I can't really give it a hit because there's something really awful about it, but it just seems to have got lodged in my head.
There was a, I saw recently, by the way, well, two things I was going to say. One is that the Bangles, I always think, you remember my mate's band called Velinsky? Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Love Velinsky. They were from Epsom back in Surrey, my hometown. And I was in a band with one of them, separate band, and him and his brother were in a band called Velinsky. And I was in a band with the other guy's brother as well. Yeah, loads of actually great, proper, brilliant music, which to this day I still think is really good. But you won't be able to find it anywhere. I've got a tape somewhere of all their stuff. But they used to cover Bangles like, Walk Like an Egyptian, but in a real kind of their way. And they kind of did it, their own version of it. And I always remember thinking, what a brilliant song. Like, everyone knows that song anyway.
Yeah.
But it really boiled it down to like, what a cool fucking 80s track it is, even if you kind of strip out the kind of pop and overproduced elements, as it were.
Yeah, they had some good songs. And Susanna Hoff's one of the beautiful women ever to live.
Mm. I saw article with Rick Astley, who talked about, he's got his own home studio and he's released his first album, which reached number one. I think it's called 50 or something. Oh, yeah. Anyway. And then I think he's got a best of or something like that coming out. I can't remember, but he was very upfront with the fact that he was like, it's weird having a best of because there are just Spotify playlists which just do that. So to just have an album, which is just essentially just a compilation of stuff people could just do anyway, is very strange. But he said that to kind of add something new to it, he's put a new song on it, but also there's like a second disc or whatever that has all his songs but done acoustically and stripped down. And he's got a version of Never Gonna Give You Up or Give You Up. What is the actual title of the song?
Never Gonna Give You Up.
It's the Never Gonna Give You Up, the whole thing. Done acoustically, and it's tinged with this sadness. And I was actually listening to it going, fuck me, that's really good. So I do recommend maybe checking that out really randomly, not to Rick Roll anyone, but just type in, Never Gonna Give You Up acoustic. You might be pleased with the results.
I'm a bit disappointed we're not going to have that on the show. I was thinking, that'd make a nice little song to analyse.
Yeah, well, too bad. Go and do it yourself. I have to do everything for you. Jesus, you bloody listeners. Right, so should we get straight into it then?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who was it?
They're a band called Gang. They're from Margate. And the track's called Animalia. From a couple of years ago, I think it came out right at the end of 2015.
Right.
And they're just a band that I really, really like, and I always keep an eye on them. Like, I follow them on Instagram and all this. And, you know, they haven't gone that far in their career yet. So they're just one of those bands. Like, you know, I think back in the day, there's like a band like Idlewild where you kind of like get on early, and then you're like, they're my guys. And you want to like see them progress. And yeah, that's how I feel about these guys. And I saw them play last week, and it made me just think about them again.
Oh, really? Where do they play?
They played at London in the Islington Assembly Halls.
Okay, yeah.
So they had an album out in 2017, and I went and saw them at that point as well. And so I was kind of like, what have they been doing for 2 years? Because they haven't really released anything. But their set was completely different. I didn't recognise one single song. And they played all their material
backwards.
As one long... no, as one big piece, like one suite of music.
Yeah.
And
I love it when bands do that. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because like, we try to kind of sometimes do that in our band, don't we? And I think that is cool. I liked this, but it did really, I think it took the audience out of it quite a lot because like, they were the support band as well. Like literally, what, 40 minutes on stage with no crowd interaction or applause or anything.
Yeah, I used to see, really cool. There's a band called White Denim. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
And they always do that. They've always done that. I've seen them live. Weirdly, I'm not like even that big a fan, but I think I've seen them live about 7 or 8 times.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I'm pretty sure every time I saw them, they do it as just one, just rolling on from one song to the next, to the next. And just, yeah, after a while, you're just a bit like, I just need you to like stop. Just, like, just like a minute. And also with White Denim, it's very, can get like quite guitar wanky. And sometimes you're a bit like, I'm not even sure like what song I'm on anymore, because it all feels like a bit of a loose jam sometimes, their songs anyway. Yeah, I do think there's something quite cool. I mean, we do it like in chunks really, more than, I don't think we've ever done it one straight set, beginning and end.
Sometimes do like 3 songs maybe.
Yeah, us, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think about it, it's like, yeah, it's more that we do them, yeah, in these like, yeah, 3 or 4 song chunks. Rather than trying to do a whole set. I think we have done it a couple of times, but anyway.
Yeah, it's cool when they did it. Yeah, they're kind of like, seem to focus a little bit more on some of the like hazier, psyche kind of sounds, which was cool. Like this gig they played, because it was all new material, I was like, that could just be the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that they haven't focused on some of the kind of like hookier songs that they're so good at, which I think that Animalia song shows off, because they seem to have a knack for, you know, it's heavy, kind of like 70s rock tinged, but it's also very melodic and quite accessible, I think. And in that way, it kind of reminds me a bit of some of the early burgeoning grunge stuff. Like, it wouldn't surprise me to learn that that song maybe had been recorded by Jack and Dino at Reciprocal Recordings or something.
Yeah, that was kind of more what I was thinking in terms of it. It was a bit like, yeah, grunge-esque. And, yeah, I quite like this quite dirty guitar sound. And, but, yeah, it's still quite big. And it's, like, kind of got the strained vocals and all this stuff. But, yeah, at the same time, it's quite weirdly, like, poppy in terms of the, yeah, the vocal melody and all this stuff. I really liked it. I thought it was cool.
Cool. I think they produced it themselves as well. I think they produce all their stuff, so which is nice.
I produce all my own liquids. That's
I've heard
a fact.
Enough about that already.
Yes. So, okay, it's your turn now. This is my song number one and the number two song of the evening. We'll be right back. What do you think?
That was very exciting. I was feeling quite confident up until about 50 seconds in that I kind of might have known what it was, but then the goalposts moved.
Didn't they just?
Yeah, I was wondering, I thought it sounded like some John Carpenter music.
You know? Interesting, yeah.
So I've actually been watching a few of his films recently, and then all those big, fat, kind of like Liam Howlett breakbeats started dropping.
Yeah.
It is what I believe they call a banger.
Well, it's... do you know who it is?
Not clue. No.
It's a Carpenter Blut, a French guy, basically. And, it's called... I've forgotten it already. I was about to say Rolling Thunder, but that's completely different. Roller Mobster. And, it was kind of what... With my Legatique stuff, I released a song called Ghost recently, which was kind of riffing on this kind of Carpenter Brut sound. And this is... All his songs are pretty fucking dark and dirty, and they have a John Carpenter-esque vibe, but also, like, it's this part of, like, synth and synthwave or whatever, dark synth, that has, like, a bit of a metal vibe to it. And, you know, like the way, like, Prodigy used to mix up rock and stuff, this is, yeah, like a bit more hardcore. And, yeah, it's amazing, I think, just to, you know, it's just so fucking intense. And, so it's part of, because he started off, he released EPs, and this was, I believe it's on the second EP, but then he's batched them all together and just called it Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably still got, I would argue, maybe the best stuff on it. So if you like it, I think it's worth just looking at Trilogy and going through that.
When did that come out?
I don't know.
Are we talking about like a current artist here?
Yeah, I mean, these probably came out only like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, okay. Maybe? So relatively new. I don't know what he did before. I think it's pretty sweet. And he's still like touring, and he's got a live album out as well, I think, somewhere.
How do you do that live? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, him and I can't remember if it was him I saw. I didn't actually go, or Perturbator, which is a similar thing. And, you know, they had like a live drummer alongside him and his synths and laptops and stuff. And that really like fucking made it kick, with songs like this where it's using an actual drum kit.
That's what the prod used to do, isn't it? When they decided to gear up for being more of kind of like rock, kind of live touring act.
An actual guitar. Do you remember the guitarist's name?
Gizbart.
Yeah.
Gizbart and Kieran Pepper on drums. Those are the days.
I wouldn't know the drummer name.
Well, Fat Milan tour.
Nice. Cool.
That was really good. I really liked it.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's, you know, if you like that kind of stuff, and it's still, all that stuff kind of influences the electronic stuff that I do. I thought it was quite a nice little pick there.
Where could somebody listen to that material if they were intrigued?
Well, my stuff.
Yeah, the Legacique.
Legacique. It's on Spotify. I don't think I'm on Bandcamp or SoundCloud, actually. I think it's just your normal ways that you maybe get your music. So iTunes or Apple Music, or whatever it's called now. Google Music and all that stuff. Tidal is probably on as well, if anyone still uses that. Yes, LEGASSIQE. You can go to my Instagram at Legacique, which has over 10,000 followers now, which is pretty good.
Wow.
And there's loads of cool 80s themed pictures and shit that I post up there. If you click on the link in the bio for that, then it will take you to all the things. It's on YouTube as well, so if you type Legacique Ghost, and I might even put a link in the show notes for this episode, because there's basically two songs I've done which are fairly popular. One's called Sunset Sprint, which is a bit more chill, and the other one is Ghost, which is a bit more hardcore. And you might recognise it because it's actually used sometimes in the new winter intro, and I think it would probably be used in the intro for this very episode that we're doing now. So if you like the sound of that, then you can listen to that. And that's kind of the same ilk of, Carpenter Brute. So I guess we should move on to the next song. I'm going to give your number two a listen. Dislocative gone, thrown away into flat river. Scott Killer. Sounded like what Devo would have sounded like if they were born like 20 years later. I really liked it. Again, I think it was weird and it was different, and it made my brain feel nice because of that. I think it was very Devo-ish, but without the kind of comic element as such. And yeah, I've no idea who that was. Who was it?
Well, Sacre Bleu, it's another French band. Ew. Two in a row. They're called Frustration. Mm-hmm. I don't really know anything about them. I downloaded a couple of their albums a few years ago and I can't even remember why. I think they were recommended on a blog or something. And I've actually been meaning to mention them to you at some point. So it seemed like a good opportunity. I like them for exactly the reason you just pointed out. It reminded me of Devo. The singer reminds me a little bit of Einar Ohn from the Sugar Cubes and later of Ghost Digital. Sounds a little bit kind of like strained and unhinged, which I quite enjoy.
Yeah, that's up your street.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, all those kind of like jerky rhythms and some of those keyboard sounds are straight out of early Devo.
Yeah.
It's not too challenging. It's good fun. Just like, I think it's an enjoyable, fizzy little kind of post-punk track.
Yeah, and I felt like it was only about 2 minutes as well, so it didn't kind of outstay its welcome or anything like that. Yeah, it was a really good choice. I really enjoyed that.
It's from the album Uncivilized, which was released in 2012, if you're interested in checking out any more of Frustration.
I should mention that all these songs, any that are kind of available on Spotify, I'll put on the Spotify playlist. I try and do the day, if not the day after that the episode comes up. Check that out if you want to hear it, basically the whole thing. Thanks, Dan. Okay, so now it's your turn to listen to my number two track, and I am interested in what you make of it.
Oh, I love a number two. Some thoughts about that one.
Go on.
Well, before we get to that, it might be good just to see what the lay of the land is. I'm gonna put my money on that being yo shit.
You would be correct.
It's quite interesting actually how you picked two songs in a row that start out sounding like 1980s horror soundtracks and then rapidly become something wildly different. I'm assuming that is a new track from Korn.
Yes. How did you guess?
I could tell. Even before he started singing, it had that trademark
Korn guitar sound.
Yeah, that like was it like detuned bass kind of sound.
Yeah, they've got a very, very distinctive guitar sound, not just from the tuning, but just the way it's produced and everything always sounds a certain way, which is probably why they always sound the same for so long.
It sounded like, so I haven't kept up with any of Korn's output, I'd say, over the last 20 years. But I did have the first three albums. The first one of which I kind of think I can see why I like that and had maybe some merit to it, then Life is Peachy and Follow the Leader are pretty awful, really, in retrospect.
Oh, man. You can't say that. Go on. I'll let you talk first.
I've heard some of the stuff they've done over the intervening years and I thought it was absolutely god-awful. And I think this is probably one of the better songs I've heard from them.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a bit more like that first album sound, maybe. And there are a few little bits in there in that I thought, oh, that's quite a good little hook, and something a little bit slightly different. And I think I liked it the more it went on.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Well, I think it would be actually quite interesting to do an entire episode dedicated to a Korn album or something, but really liked the first album, really liked the second album, liked the third album, but then after that I kind of dropped off the radar, I think, like most of us did, because we got that little bit older. And you know, it kind of got a bit old hat. But yeah, they have released some absolute shit over the course of it. But this new album, which came out very, very recently, I don't have the exact date, but I'm talking like weeks, has done really well, apparently, and is a critical success as well. Mm. And people seem to be quite enjoying. I still think it feels rather dated. This song, even though it's my shit, I actually don't mind it as much as the other shits I've chosen, if that makes sense. Mainly because it's, I do quite like their sound still to this day. And I do think it's very much them. And that's why you can always tell it's Korn, not just from the, I think even if you took Jonathan Davis's singing out, you would still be able to tell it's a Korn track.
Totally.
And I like the way they throw in different bits and pieces, and they try this and try that, and then, you know, they do something weird here and do something weird there, and they're like crazy, like the vocal stuff that, you know, Davis does, which is mad. Sometimes when I listen to it, I'm just like, why has he chosen to do this? But for some reason, it's just so weird. It makes you interested in listening to it. And I quite like them for that. But there is that part of me that's like, this could have, as you said, could have been released on the first album back in 96 or whenever it was. And yeah, it kind of shows that, you know, there's no real evolution. I know they did lots of stuff with them. They did that song with Skrillex and all this stuff, and they're trying new things in that way. Great. But I just feel like, you know, you've had your moment. You've had your time. It's fine. You know, don't worry about it. But then I saw them on, they did a Reading Festival or something recently, and I was watching on BBC iPlayer, and I was watching the set, and half of it was like the old stuff. And I was like, you know what? I do fucking love this stuff still. And I don't really know why. And I kind of swing from the whole like, yeah, this is really great. And then when I listen to like the first three albums and bits and pieces in the middle, again, I get bored of it very quickly. But I think when you hear like a Korn song once in a while, rather than listen to an entire album, say, I think it, you know, you enjoy it more in little tidbits. But yeah, generally speaking, I just thought the first time I heard it, I was like, oh God, this is terrible. I hate it. But it's not the worst of my shits.
Sort of like a very dry, offensive shit that has very little odour.
Yeah, is there such a thing? yeah, and that song was called, let me just make sure I get the exact pronunciation of this right. H. Sorry.
What, is it about the guy from Steps?
No, hold on, I've just died. H, at, as in the at sign. RD3R. Oh, hold on. Harder.
It's so confusing when they do that. It's confusing these days.
Putting like computer speak because it's cool. So that's part of the reason why I hate stuff like that.
I've actually read a little bit around people saying that 2019 has been a bit of a kind of renaissance year for new metal. Some people saying it's 1999 again because we've had Korn. I can't remember which other bands. I know Cold released an album. Do you remember them?
Jesus, yeah.
Cold?
Yeah.
I mean, who was crying out for a Cold album? but that happened. Was there maybe like a Slipknot thing or something? I can't remember.
Well, to be fair, Slipknot have still kept going and I've kind of kept slightly abreast of them. And I still really like the Slipknot stuff. I'm saying it. It's out there. Okay? Deal with it.
Well, 2019 was a red letter year for you. no, I'm not even sure. Did they release an album this year?
Oh, probably. I ain't got that.
Well, there were some other like, kind of like what are considered old new metal bands that released stuff this year.
Limp Bizkit?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. No,
to be fair, Fred Durst, I think, has released a film recently that's actually getting a lot of traction.
Unbelievable.
Let me just Google it. I know he's been wanting to be a film director. Well, he is a film director now, I suppose. He's been wanting to do it for a while. They did a little reunion, actually, didn't they, not too long ago. They played a few shows. Did you see this? And then Insane Clown Posse came on board and tried to dropkick. Tried to dropkick Fred Durst.
What?
Do you not see this?
No.
Oh, mate. Yeah, it's just Google it. It's quite funny. Yeah, like they're just, it's Limp Bizkit doing a set. And
did they do a cover of Heart-Shaped Box?
They did, yeah. They were doing covers and stuff as well. Yeah.
I remember hearing that because people were livid.
Yeah, and it was pretty bad. But I'm trying to find what film he's done. People will probably be shouting at him, going, "Fuck's sake, you did this!" And as he's singing, one of the Insane Clown Posse comes on and tries to drop. Apparently, he was drunk, but I don't know. And tried to drop kick Fred Durst.
Because they are into their wrestling, aren't they? Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, but also, like, I swear I read something that he was on a recent Insane Clown Posse album or something like that. I don't know. Oh, this is it, The Fanatic.
These guys, they just keep on going and going and going, don't they? They're all releasing stuff constantly, just under the radar.
That's true. He recently did a film with John Travolta called The Fanatic, which is supposed to be all right. I've not seen it. Directed by Fred Durst, et cetera, et cetera. Interesting. But yeah, he's becoming a filmmaker now, so whatever, I don't know.
Interesting but depressing.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big box office failure. What was the budget? Doesn't say, but it earned $3,153 on its opening day.
Shit.
From 52 theatres, which is a fair amount of theatres, and you've only got $3,000. John Travolta has the weirdest. Oh, yeah, it's got 3.5 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. It must be awful. So I totally made up the fact that if it's supposed to be any good, it's not. It's supposed to be dreadful looking at it.
Let's hope that's a nail in the coffin of his film directing career.
Well, he might go back to music, and we don't want that either.
Just going back to Korn.
Yes.
I did read about this a few months ago, I think. I seem to remember this music, or this album, is connected in some way to a storytelling podcast that they were doing.
Wow. You've made it relevant. So, I didn't know this.
So in many ways, it is the A New Winter of the new metal scene.
Very much so.
I definitely remember reading that. Look it up. I don't know which way around they did it, if they kind of like kicked the podcast off.
Well, the album's very new, so I imagine a podcast would have come first.
Yeah, they've weaved, I think, the music and there's some kind of, Jonathan Davis type gothic narrative.
Interesting.
All the music apparently relates to.
So. Okay. All right. Well, that was my number two. So now I think we should time to move on to your number three for me.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. So, Dan, I'd like to think that was your shit. Would I be correct?
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Oh, my Lord. How can that not be? How can it not be?
Presented you up a fine piece of electro-synth rock, only for you to cast aspersions on it.
So, it reminds me of that Tim and Eric show, the minivan superhighway, whatever it's called. Have you seen that sketch? No. And whilst we're talking, I'm going to send it to you. But explain to me why you like it.
So this is from an album that I've only really recently, just like this month, listened to for the first time, and so it's been on my playlist quite a bit. It's just a nice piece of, again, like Devo influenced, I think, music. That's catchy, fun. And I like some of the tone textures in there. I thought it was just good, upbeat, new wavy piece of pop fun. By, any ideas?
Neil Young. I've heard it. I've actually heard it before.
Okay.
And sorry, everyone else is meeting. Like, I've just messaged you the sketch that I'm talking about. So why don't we just. I'll play it for the guys back home as well, and they can make their own minds up. So, yeah, feel free to click press play on it. I'll play it as well.
I really liked Minivan Highway. I thought it was really good.
It's basically the same song.
Well, somebody had to make the music for there to be something to parody.
Someone got a fucking voice box thing and a synth and fucked around with it. And his name was Neil Young.
Well, I think it was cool that he did this. He took that step and decided he was going to say, fuck it all, and this is what I want to do.
Yeah, and he did that. Certainly did that. Well, I'm surprised.
Have you heard the whole album?
No, I don't think so. Well, I might have done, but I don't believe I have now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's cool. It's really good. It's, I really like it. So it's called Trans from 1982.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the reception was mixed. The record label was furious. So all of that appeals to me as well, of course.
For the sake of being difficult.
Yeah, I like his obstinacy in insisting on putting this record out. He basically, I think the previous album was with Crazy Horse, and he'd already started adopting some kind of more new wave sounds. And that was all. So up until then, everything had been on his old record label. Everything he'd released had been on the Reprise Records.
Right.
And so I think it was around this time he started hanging out with Devo a bit. Like, there's that really crazy long jam. Have you seen that?
No.
That's really good. What's it called?
I didn't need that. No, it existed.
It's called Into the Black or something.
Right.
And he got the line, Rust Never Sleeps, from that. I think Boogie Boy says it or something. He ad-libs it.
Brilliant.
And he was making that film Human Highway.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, but I'm aware of it.
It's quite weird. But Devo were in that as well. And I think that came out in 1982. So yeah, 1982 is quite a weird year, I think, for Neil Young.
Yeah.
That film, and then followed up with this album, Trans, on the new label, Geffen.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he went with them because David Geffen had previously been the manager of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, so they had a good relationship.
Right.
And he was promised, like, complete creative freedom to record whatever he wanted.
And he made this.
He made this. And they were really, really annoyed with him. And I think to try and, mend bridges, he, as a follow-up, he offered them a country album,
mm-hmm.
which they declined and said, no, we want a rock and roll album.
Right.
To which he turned around and gave them Everybody's Rockin', which is this like 1950s throwback rock and roll album.
Wow.
That performed really badly and is like critically is completely trashed.
Oh, Jesus.
At which point David Geffen, Geffen Records sued Neil Young.
Really? I don't know any of this.
Yeah, it's great.
What was the outcome of that?
They tried to sue him for $3.3 million for producing work that was not representative and was intentionally, non-commercial.
Right.
He then issued a countersuit for circa $20 million.
Bloody hell.
And the whole thing got settled, but apparently it put off a lot of bands. So in 1983, like REM were being courted by them.
Right, by Geffen.
Apparently that put them off. You know, the fact that they were suing one of their artists who was meant to have complete creative control.
Yeah.
Apparently David Geffen personally apologised to Neil Young.
And, too right.
Yeah. But he did this whole Everybody's Rockin' thing, which just makes me laugh. Like them going, we want a rock and roll album, probably meaning they want a rock album.
Yeah.
And he's taken them at their word and he gives them fucking Everybody's Rockin'. Where he's got this like pink zoot suit on and like turning in these really fusty old like rock songs, rock and roll tracks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A pink zoot suit, how about that?
Oh.
Lovely.
Imagine slipping one of those on and listening to this song again. It'd be a different listening experience for you, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be a different experience, but one with the same result. right, so let's listen to my number three track for you.
Oh, right.
And you know my shit's over with, so it's going to be hits all the way. Enjoy.
I love this song. I know it very well.
Okay.
I probably still listen to it 10 times a year, maybe.
Yes. Good.
Zoot Woman, Living in a Magazine.
Yeah. I didn't know you knew Zoot Woman, really.
Only this song, really. I've actually got a few of their albums, but I can't ever seem to find any other songs that I like.
Oh, really?
Any of them. Yeah.
Because that entire first album... is amazing. It's one of those classic for me, like, you know, beginning to end. I just used to listen to it on repeat. But yeah, I remember when this came, so this came out in 2001, and I remember, do you remember my friend Tarek?
Yeah.
And me and him, were obsessed with this entire album. And then yeah, over the course of years, I don't have the last two albums, maybe, but I've tried to, like, every album they've released I've got and listened to, and it, even though it doesn't have that, you know, that initial excitement you get with that kind of sound right from the first album, they've still maintained a consistency of great songs throughout, some better than others, obviously, but... yeah, and I still think they're a really good band, and they're still making music, you know, to this day. But I always remember it as being the guy from, if you remember, Les Rhythm, or whatever Les Rhythm is, Digitales.
Okay.
And, yeah, because he released a album called Dark Dancer, which I'm sure if you Googled, you probably recognise the cover. But that was like a dance album, and... he went on to form Zoot Woman and all this stuff. And, yeah, I've never seen them live. They're one of the few bands that I've never seen live that I'd really, you know, like to and that have always been around. But, yeah, I love this track. It still stands up today, I think.
Definitely. So are they actually a band or are they just like one guy?
No, it's a band. It's a band. There's three of them now, I think, but it's the three core people. Who were there at the beginning. But, yeah, they're a band.
I should go back and listen to that album because, maybe I didn't really give it enough of a try. And then I think I became a bit, like, fixated on that one song, and that's just been something I carry through, like, various playlists over the years.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really unique. I think 2001 as well, they must have been one of the first bands that really embraced that 80s retro sound.
Yeah, as well as, you know, people like, oh, you know, Strokes or whatever, but it's like Strokes weren't really doing 80s. Like that whole 80s nostalgia thing and it being very stylish and, you know, the singing and the actual music and stuff like that, when you think of 80s, is more Zoot Woman. It's more I don't really understand when people say Strokes are kind of 80s. I just don't get. I don't think of it as that at all. But
no, it sounds more 70s to me.
Yeah, and but yeah, they were definitely for me. I think anyway, one of the first people that really embraced what, you know, the 80s was all about, and did it long before it became a whole thing. Yeah, it's 2000. Yeah. It's 2001. It's 18 years ago. Almost two decades ago, and we're only now, and like still to this, you know, 80s has never been more prevalent than it's been over the last couple of years, and you know they were doing it almost two decades ago.
It's funny, isn't it, that's only just peaking. It makes me think, God, like we were nostalgic for the 80s back in 2000 when we were only 18.
Yeah, we just come out of it.
What I like about it, I think it's got that sheen. That high production sheen of the 80s, but it's also got that kind of like aching melancholia.
Yeah.
That typifies a lot of like 80s pop music, especially that came out of like bands that were a bit more, you know, come from the like new wave underground or something. It could be like almost like a Duran Duran, almost like Girls on a Film. It's talking about that, like something about, you know, hollowness of the media and glamour of the 80s.
Yeah.
Living in a magazine.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really great. And it's still like, I'm still nostalgic for the time around when I was listening to it. So it just felt like, you know, to me, for me, those last, that like 2000 to 2005 or whatever, was the real like last hurrah for that kind of music, where it felt like, you know, it, music wasn't on the decline. So like, you know, Napster was only really just coming about, file sharing stuff, whatever, but it felt like you were going in, you know, buying a CD album was a big deal. You know, bands would release stuff and you'd, and it would be like fucking 12, 14 months of, you know, hyping it up before it actually came out, rather than just being like, oh, thingy released an album the other day, it's weird. Well, this single was coming out. Like, music felt more like of a thing, felt more tangible than the easy access it kind of gets today.
And yeah, more of an event.
Exactly, yeah. And that, and the albums of that time that were released at that time, especially new bands and new music, I highly recommend, like, literally just sit back, chill, listen to the whole album beginning to end. I like, you know, It's Automatic, one of the tracks on it, probably the most famous track on the album over all this stuff, over Living in a Magazine, yeah, title track, the one we just listened to, is again in my, same as that you were saying with this song, yeah, It's Automatic. It's on every kind of playlist thing that I do when I, you know, want to listen to stuff, if you know what I mean. Kind of always seems to find its way into my, you know, music playlists. But yeah, the entire album was great. Listen to it. All of them are great. You know, the second, third album, listen to those as well. They're really good.
Who is Zoot Woman?
I don't know. It's just a cool name, isn't it?
I suppose.
Wasn't
it's making me think of Neil Young's Zoot suit that he wore during his performances of Everybody's Rockin'.
Yeah, we're finished with Neil Young now. So let's move on. Let's move on to, this is your last track that I'm going to listen to now.
And therefore...
you're shit. End on a shit note, as always. Get out. All right, here we go.
What was she for Halloween? The ugliest girl you've ever seen. Promise not to tell me. What was she for Valentine? An old forgotten rape of mine. Promise not to tell.
So I guess you know what that was.
Yes, that was Old Age by Kurt Cobain, but sung by Courtney Love. It's interesting that you chose that. I mean, what do I think about it? In terms of as a song, it's very much like a kind of Z-list Cobain song. There's times when it's like, you know, as a musician, as a singer-songwriter, when it's like, you know, mucking around or whatever on the guitar and trying to, and you kind of found something and then suddenly you're like, oh, it's kind of a song, whatever, and it's very throwaway. That's what I feel like this is. And the fact that, like, Courtney Love is, like, on her hands and knees, like, picking up these little bits. I'd be like, oh, I'll take it, I'll do it. Yeah, that'll be, you know, I'll play that on my Unplugged or whatever. And, yeah, and she just... you know, I don't know. I feel horrible. I feel dirty after listening to it and all that stuff. Oh. Anyway, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's how I felt. I've been struggling to come up with shit because I generally don't listen to music that I think I'm not going to like. So I reached back into the well of bile and anger to produce this one.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
It just makes me angry. I feel really annoyed.
Why angry?
I don't. I suppose it is, you know, obviously it was a cast off, because if Kurt thought there was any value to it, they'd have continued with the song and developed it or whatever. But when you listen to that version that was released on With the Lights Out, which they had a go at it during the Nevermind sessions.
Yeah.
Which was debatable for a long time. There wasn't really any concrete evidence that that had happened.
Yeah.
And I remember in probably around the same time as Zoot Woman, there was like a 20-second clip, really muddy and murky, circulating online. But to all intents and purposes, this was just a whole song. So this track was the B-side to the Beautiful Sun single, which came out in 1993. So Nirvana's still around, Kurt's still around. I can't remember who it's credited to. It's not credited to Kurt. It's either Courtney Love or Hole.
But
obviously, like, the music is, it's completely the old age recording that Nirvana had done. And to the credit of Dave and Chris, they never said anything about it.
Yeah, piped up. Well, that's no real surprise, is it? I mean, you know, fucking hell.
Yeah, they're not petty and vindictive like she is.
Well, also, exactly. There's just that element of, like, you know, just let it lie.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she's a fucking nutter, which is, no matter what you think of her, what she's done or whatever and stuff like that, she's definitely insane, and she always has been insane.
But I just think it's a really poor version, because even on that version on, like I said, on With the Lights Out, the Nirvana version, you know, I really like Nirvana's jams and improvs, and I think Kurt had a real knack for channeling something deep within and capturing an emotion and conveying it. And even if there weren't lyrics, if it was just like mumbled harmonies, melodies, he put something across, because he was, you know, he was an artist in that way.
Yeah.
And they've taken the blueprint of that song, and it just shows how badly it can go when you don't really have that real emotional connection with the material. There's just little things like the timing, the cadence, and the terrible lyrics. The lyrics are so bad. It's like something like 14-year-old would do to attract attention. There's all these, like, there's nothing subtle about it.
Yeah.
References to, like, an old forgotten rape of mine.
Yeah, classic.
Waste of sperm and eggs.
Yeah.
Something about going back to rehab. It's like, how much stuff can you get in, like, one song to draw attention to?
It's really try hard.
Yourself. Yeah.
And that's the problem. And that's, you know, I won't go into this now, but, like, you know, a couple of years ago, I went back and listened to Live Through This. And I like it. I like most of it for probably about half the songs for as an album anyway. But Kurt wrote it. It's got Kurt's fingerprints, like, all over it. And the same way that it's like when you listen to, like, Celebrity Skin, and, you know, and this isn't something new. Like, even when Celebrity Skin was released, it was like, this is a Smashing Pumpkins album.
Yeah.
Everything about it, from the cover, from the front cover to, you know, absolutely every tiny detail had Billy Corgan's handprints all over it, because that was who she was fucking at the time. Because she can't, she's void of any actual talent apart from the fact that grunge happened, and so she picked up a guitar, played some chords, and learned to scream. But she loved and she just lived that rock lifestyle, which, you know, unfortunately Kurt seemed to buy into. But when you listen to Live Through This and, you know, Violet and Miss World and things like that, all the cool bits and all the, even the sound of it, it's like, it's weird, because I just think I'm listening to, like, a Kurt album that never was.
Yeah. Do you know the version of, I can't remember, is it called Asking For It?
Yeah, well, there is the song Asking For It, yeah, which is another great song off the album.
Yeah, and that, have you heard the version on Outcest Aside with Kurt singing on it as well?
I probably have done, but not been any time recently.
It just adds credence to the fact that, you know, he was around during the composition and the recording of a lot of these songs. Mm.
But yeah, I think the people around, like, you read stuff about how you know, she would like nick stuff basically, or like saying like, oh, I need a bit here or a bit there, or, you know, and it's just, you know, and it's not like, oh, she was living with him, so obviously she was going to be influenced by him and stuff like that. Stuff like old age and stuff is shows that she had absolutely no problem with just thieving material.
Yeah.
And casting it off as her own. She did not give a fuck. And that's what Live Through This album was.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Interestingly, they re-recorded this song and released it in 1995 as a B-side to Violet.
Right.
It's quite a different version. I find the one that we listened to today somehow more offensive. But if you enjoyed that song, then you might want to go and check out the other version.
Yeah, why not? It's weird. Did you see recently that Kurt's unplugged a fucking cardigan or whatever for like $250,000 or something, whatever it was?
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, and his guitar, his blue Jaguar. No, blue Mustang, I think. Went for like $320,000 or something that he used during the In Utero tour and, you know, around that time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. But I don't know if you know, because there's a whole thing about Kurt's guitar from Unplugged. Do you know about this?
No.
So Frances Bean Cobain, Kurt's daughter, in case people don't know, went out with this bloke who basically looked pretty much exactly like Kurt, but whatever, that's another thing. And she gave him Kurt's guitar that he played during Unplugged. Right?
Okay.
Now, when they split up, Courtney said she wanted the guitar back, and he basically said no. He was like, okay. No, it was a gift. I'm keeping it. So,
yeah.
She apparently, this is where the courts got involved, and this is the accusation, hired someone to kill him to get the guitar back. And apparently it got to a point where people broke into his house and basically held him up to get the guitar back.
Wow.
Apparently. And
wow.
Yeah, and there was a whole, if you Google it, and there's a whole, like, I don't know what the final result of it was, if anything happened, or if it's still ongoing or whatever, because it's, you know, fairly, it's a couple of years, but you know how long like all the law takes.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he's out and out. It was just like, Courtney Love hired a hitman to kill me over Kurt's guitar.
Oh my God. And that just adds fuel.
Yeah, exactly. People are loving that, aren't they? They're like, well, this is what she does.
Wow.
She's got no problem doing it then. So yeah, but she's a fucking mess. Like her whole, if you read her Twitter account or whatever, stuff that she said in the past, like, it's nonsensical. Like, she tries to, like, give her opinions about stuff, and it's the ramblings of a madwoman. Not, mm-hmm. you know, not that I'm saying, like, you know, it's not what she's, the opinion that she's giving. I'm talking about literally the way it's worded, how she's writing it down,
mm-hmm.
makes no sense.
Incoherent. It is,
yeah, completely incoherent. And like the whole thing with like Frances, the fact that Frances now has to, you know, she's keeps apologising for her mother and whatever. And Frances, I'm sure, is fucked up in her own way anyway. But lives with Wendy. Like, you know, that's it. Can't live with Courtney anymore. Fuck knows what Courtney's doing. But yeah, they keep having these like public spats on social media or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Courtney just, and that's, you know, it's like, you know, Courtney's supposed to be her mum. And when you look back to like the things of like when she was taking heroin and smoking whilst pregnant and all that stuff, or allegedly when she blatantly was, and that's why they fought so hard to defend and they weren't able to see their kid for ages or whatever. Mm. You just think she's fucking nuts. She's psychotic. Like at the time, it's like, you know, oh, she's taking heroin and smoking when pregnant. Yeah, that sounds bad. To the point where I'm thinking, you know, as a father, the idea of a mother doing that at all, full stop, is incomprehensible. And, yeah, I just don't know. Like, she's just, God knows. I'd be interested to, like, not that it would ever happen, but, like, just spend an evening, like, in her company. Not, like, that makes me sound like I want to have sex with her. But, like, like at a party or something like that. and just be like, you know, what is she actually really like? But if you remember, like, I used to be friends with Noel Fielding, who basically used to shag her, and he was very, like, let's just say, careful about what he said about her, and all this stuff, because he was clearly quite scared. Scared of her, because she's fucking nuts.
Forget about Courtney, everyone. If you like the song, go and find the Nirvana version with the lights out and enjoy purity of that song, unadorned, unsullied by that wretched crack addict, Courtney Love.
Songs Without Love should be the title of the actual book set. Right, okay, so let's move on to the final song.
The final countdown.
Final one, indeed. And it is the final countdown, no matter if it was. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Goodbye.
Thanks. Thought the music was very charming, very sort of laid back cafe jazz kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to sound francophobic, but was this more French shit?
Well, no,
it had that cafe couleur kind of vibe. Her singing was a bit, she sounded like she had a block nose.
Yeah, she does speak several languages, but she's British, I believe. Yeah, they're all British. Mm. Well, it's Electrolane. So if you remember that band a little while ago, Trash Bags or whatever they were called,
Grot Bags,
Rock Bags. They, you were saying how it was some ex-members of Electrolane,
yeah,
were in it or whatever, and this was. It was quite difficult for me to pick a song from the album that this comes from, which is called The Power Out, and the song is called Birds, because I really like all the songs on the album, but this one I feel is the most immediately accessible and also like the kind of prettiest, maybe. And it's a bit more, it's a bit more nice, that makes sense, but I still think it's very much that Electrolane sound, which is like, you know, soft guitars, it feels like it's almost live,
yes,
and you know, it's very delicate when it needs to be, but also like has that, you know, cool ending where it kind of, you know, comes together a little bit more, and then almost as soon as it started it finishes again. So they play around with with how they're creating the music as well, if that makes sense, and what they want to do with it. It could have just been a very normal, simple, slow number, but then, you know, towards the end, just that stepping up again, which makes it feel a bit different. And I feel like it's things like that, that whole album, it still feels new to me each time I listen to it, because it's just got all these like quite cool little bits to it, and it just sounds different still to this day.
Yeah, I liked that ending. It was very sprightly, and like you say, it then didn't stick around too long, so like structurally as a composition it was quite unusual, I suppose, to have that come in at the end and then just disappear.
Yeah, and I like lyrically, you know, just the fact, you know it's not that I can't go on without you, I've got a lot of things to do, busy all the time, but I can't stop thinking about you. It's like nice. It's just a lovely little, you know, four lines, like being like, you know, I'm independent, I'm doing stuff, but yeah, and so that nice romantic, you know, notion. It's like we're all busy, we're all trying to do stuff, but yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
it's lyrically they're very, it's getting late now, so I'm starting to mumble more. But lyrically, it resonates quite well as well.
Yeah, it's not. It's realistic. It's grounded in some sort of realism. It's not just some saccharine, airy fairy, lovey dovey fucking shit.
Yeah, no one wants that. Jesus. Did you like it?
Yeah, I think, you know, that vocal could grow on me. I could get used to it and maybe even enjoy it. But yeah, I like some music.
I think you'd like the album.
Like you said, that live kind of sound, just very, very warm live sound. Very nice.
Yeah, I think you'd like it if you listen to it. I mean, it's not very long. It's only like a half hour or something. So, and it's quite, I always used to enjoy listening to it really late at night. Anyway, if you know what I mean, with some headphones and just maybe if I'm reading a book or whatever, it just feels like it's that kind of music.
Nice tip. Well, I've got it here on my computer. I could pop it on my phone and maybe I'll go away now and lie down in a dark room with some headphones on.
And have a wank.
Wank myself to sleep to the strains of electrolyte.
Four women.
Perfect.
You know, so it's nice for you to like listen to four women do something a bit different late at night. That's it. We went through our
four. It's a nice image to end the show on.
Yeah, exactly. What would be your pick of the four that I presented to you?
What have we listened to? We've had some Korn, some Electrolane.
You always do this, yeah.
We started with, what did we start with? Carpenter Blur.
Carpenter Blut, yeah.
And, what was the other one we've had?
Carpenter Blut, Korn, Electrolane, Zoot Woman.
Oh, the Zoot Woman. I'm going to listen to the Zoot Woman album, because... Yeah, I don't feel like any of it's ever registered. And I love that song so much. And something's gone awry. Really wrong.
I would say, so out of the tracks that you played, not Neil Young. Sad to say.
What a shame.
I really like.
You'd love that album.
I really, I think out of all of them, that Frustration track kind of makes me want to explore that more. So that might be my pick. I think. What was the last song that you played? Do you remember? It was your shit, anyway. Oh, it was Hole, wasn't it?
Hole.
Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, so Frustration. It would either be the first song or Frustration.
You need to go deeper into Hole.
Yeah, I've got as deep into Holes as I need to go.
And Frustration, I think, would bear fruit.
I mean, I always used to think that back in the day, the fact that it used to be like, Courtney loves Hole. That's how people used to present it. The band, Courtney Loves Hole. But also, like, the fact that it's like, Courtney loves Hole.
Wow.
As well as, Courtney loves Hole.
Do you remember Manhole?
I remember the name.
They had to change their name because of Hole.
Did they?
Yeah, and they became Tura Satana.
Yes, and I remember that, the female vocalist.
Yeah.
He's still doing stuff to this day, I believe.
Tarry B.
Oh, mate, how do you even remember this stuff? Fucking hell. I didn't realise that was because of Courtney Love and Hole.
Yeah.
Jesus, that woman. Right. Well, guys, Dan, where can people find you?
Oh, please go and watch my YouTube channel.
Please.
Dreadful Discs. Dreadful Discs. And then you can go on Instagram and look at Dreadful Discs.
Yes.
And there'll be more pictures of records.
All the pictures. And you can check out Instagram, A New Winter, Twitter at A New Winter, blah, 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 at A New Winter. email us, A New Winter Podcast at gmail.com. What do you think of Courtney Love's Hole? It's devastating. Show us a picture of it if you've got one. I'd like to see it.
How would you rate it? Did you hate it? Did you love it? Did you feel it?
Was it three hits and a shit? otherwise, thanks, Courtney Love's Hole. I had hit that three times and then shit in it.
Oh, lovely.
So that's the end of this episode. See you next time, boys and girls, for another episode of A New Winter, Cults and Culture. Good night.
A New Winter, Cults and Culture.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.